All right, Jeremy, today on Splitting Fairways, we are going to do something that has never been done. We are going to settle the loft jacking debate once and for all.
Yes.
Yes. And I am truly confident that we can do this. People have been trying for, I don't know, 20 years on the internet to settle this. But we are going to do it today on Splitting Fairways. So this is Splitting Fairways.
Real golfers, real opinions. I'm Jeremy.
And I am Hawk. And today's episode is titled The Definitive Loft Jacking Debate, The End.
The End. I like that.
Yeah. Let's have a little bit of fun. So, very first thing I want to do here is go back in history a little ways to when loft jacking really started to get talked about. And I will say this, I'm pretty sure it's been talked about probably for 50 years, right? I just saw something about Ben Hogan's 4-iron being lofted like a 7-iron, not even a jacked 7-iron.
Really?
He was playing like a 30-something degree 4-iron or something stupid like that. Like anybody cares. And the shafts were shorter, and he still hit it 700 yards,
Right.
Whatever. But when I go back and I think about loft jacking, it really kind of goes back to one set of irons for me, and that was the Burner 2.0s from TaylorMade.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. You remember those?
I absolutely do. Yep. Okay. In fact, I know a guy who was playing them as recently as last year still.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy on the THP forum that was playing them as of a couple weeks ago. Wow. So we think about them, kind of evolved into rocket blades, and then I think speed blades. And then all of a sudden it became really a race for the longest 7-iron with every iron company.
Everything and became about distance. Yep.
It really, really did. And some people really get tied into the lofts of irons, like really matters to them. And, what's funny is, yeah, for sure. But, if you look at what 15 years ago people were calling a really strong loft at 7-iron, it's not strong compared to today. I want to say my set has a 29 degree 7-iron now.
Wow. Okay.
Something like that. So first question is, how far does a 7-iron really need to go, right? Does it matter?
No, I mean, it needs to go as far as you need it to go. It doesn't matter. Like there's no specific distance tied to it because it's for each individual player. I think it like kind of like where I said, for me personally, it needs to go 170 to 175 yards.
Oh.
And if it goes farther than that, I don't want it. I know that sounds ridiculous. And I've been like, people have like said that before, like, why don't you want to hit it farther? Because when I hit it farther, I lose control of the ball.
Yeah. So I actually understand completely, and I don't think that's a I don't think it's a there's no like bravado in that or whatever. Like when you say that, I think it's just functionally you just don't have the need for that much distance out of that iron. I will say that here's so I'm hitting a 7-iron into a par 3 yesterday, and I had actually left my 7-iron at the driving range, which happened to be right by this hole. So I run over to grab it, and the guy's like, oh, what'd you leave your 9-iron over on the range? And I was like, yeah, my 9-iron. Right. So sometimes like it sucks to, have a guy say he's hitting his 9-iron and you're hitting your 7-iron. It sucks.
Unless it's the same club, like, I don't know. It's one of those things, like, you play with different people, obviously, on a golf course. Yeah. You might think you hit it the same distance. Guys ask you, hey, what'd you hit there? And then they're basing their club off of yours. I'm like thinking to myself, like, this is a completely different style of iron than what you have. You hit the ball higher than I do, you know, whatever it might be. Like, that's just, it's not a good way to choose your golf club.
No, you're right. And, you know, over the years I've got used to it. It's not that big of a deal, but I'd be lying if I, you know, tried to say that there wasn't like part of me that wishes I had been hitting my nine iron into that green yesterday. Actually, every part of me wishes I was hitting a nine iron into that green. So there's some real honest truth for you.
I just want to say, like, there is a point too where you're hitting your clubs too short. Mm-hmm. And you want some of that loft jacking, right?
Yeah.
I've tried all the clubs, you know, game improvement, players distance, cavity backs, blades, like all of them.
Sure.
And at one point, you know, you're hitting a seven iron. We're going to use a seven iron as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like at one point I was hitting at 200 yards.
Yeah.
And okay, that's a little too far. With another set of clubs, I'm hitting it like 180, 170, whatever. But then you get to the blades, for example, require a much more precision type thing, and you're hitting it like 150. Well, that's no fun. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to hit my seven iron 150 yards.
Me either.
You know. So I'll take some of that loft jacking.
Yeah. So let's do talk about, you know, one of the. This is, and we don't want to get into the technical side of this too much, but. You know, there is sort of a relationship between loft, the launch angle of the golf ball, and a number of other things here that can, you know, make a seven iron sort of still be a seven iron, even if it's lofted, you know, like a six iron, really. And frankly, I guess it doesn't really matter what the number on the bottom of the club is, but... I think that there is a misperception that it's only loft, right? Now, especially with hollow body irons, you know, you get like that thin, fast face, the lower loft, and clubs like that actually kind of behave a little bit more like metalwoods in the sense that they impart less spin on the golf ball while launching it high. So you kind of get these like high bullets, but they're getting high from a different, you know, set of launch conditions than a traditional iron might.
And that's
take one guess.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Take one guess what my spin rate with a seven iron is.
Probably 4,500 to 5,000.
Wow. No. Right now 38 to 43.
Oh wow. Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even lower than I thought.
Yeah, really low. But, you know, I'm still hitting the ball not low necessarily, like not like old man low. But, you know, for me, it's, again, almost like that driver where it's a higher launch, lower spin, and that's how I get yards. You actually don't have to hit it as fast to get yards that way. It's cheater distance is what I call it.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I can still hold greens reasonably well. So, but let's see, what do you want out of a set of irons? What is it that you're looking for if you're not looking for distance?
If you're not looking for distance, then you're looking for, well, I'm looking for a little bit of forgiveness across the face, because I don't hit it in the center every single time, and most golfers don't, even though they think they might. And I want, for me, I want a little control, which means spin.
Okay. Yep. So what do you like? Let's just stick with the seven iron. What are your expectations when a seven iron hits a normal green surface? Like how quickly should that stop for you?
I mean, depending on the hardness of the greens and my lie, all that stuff, like I would like the ball to stop within 3 feet after the pitch mark.
Wow. Okay. And did that happen?
Yeah.
Like with a seven iron, you can, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, there's a lot of factors, ball, lie, you know, all kinds of things.
Of course.
But But I mean, maybe a little longer might be a little bit more realistic, but I'm definitely holding a green pretty easily with it because even with a 7-iron, like say a par 3 distance wise, like I don't want the ball rolling out over the green. Like if I hit it to a number, I would expect it to be close to it.
Yeah. So like for me, like a 7-iron, I'd be happy. I would be completely happy 15 to 20 feet a roll for sure.
That is a lot. Now, that's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just hoping to hit the green there. Like, yeah, but here's the other thing too, though. Like, if my 7-iron number is kind of intersecting with like a back pin, right? I'm not gonna hit something over, you know, like intentionally hit something to the back pin that I know could, you know, roll out that far. Sure. So, and you know, like last week when I was playing, the ball was stopping just immediately because it was so. So what? Okay, so like if you went and got fit for a set of irons, what is it that you're looking for with the fitting? Like, what are your big takeaways that you're looking for? Like, even if it's general numbers.
I wouldn't say specific numbers, but I'm looking for my launch angle, my peak height, and my descent angle, along with spin to match up pretty well, so that I get the stopping kind of power and control that I'm looking for.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think. So the last iron fitting I had was with Titleist, and I know that every fitter is going to tell me I need to hit the ball higher. I just know that, and Titleist is really big on that. They've got like the 3 Ds, descent angle, distance and dispersion, I think, is the 3 Ds. I would be really impressed with that. That was over a year ago. But anyway, I knew that was going to happen. So I kind of thought I was going to get fit into, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit, the high launch version of their T250 irons. So I thought that's what I would end up getting fit into. I didn't. What they ended up doing is they took the T350s and they bent those weak for me, which actually got me a little bit more height. Interestingly enough, right? So like my carry numbers with my 6-iron and my 7-iron actually went up.
Yeah.
So they went up. My carry iron or my carry numbers when I got into like the scoring irons kind of went down a little bit. So like my gaps just sort of evened out a lot better. I played those irons for a year and legitimately love those irons, really do, but no joke, it took me a little while to accept the fact that, you know, I was hitting like my 9-iron or my 8-iron less than I was before, you know.
Yeah,
I was testing irons in between there, and I was hitting some Srixon ZX4s, I think, Mark 2s, and I want to say I was like 8-9 yards longer, and man, I almost bit, you know, and went back to the other irons because it's just so intoxicating to see that number, especially on a launch monitor, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what irons are you playing right now?
I'm currently playing the Cobra 3DP Tours.
Okay. What's the last set of like kind of distance game improvement type irons that you play?
That would be the Cobra King Forge Tech irons.
Okay, so Forge Tech. So those
hollow body. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually tried the X version of those, which was the more forgiving at one point, and that was one of the ones that I was hitting the 7-iron like 200 yards, you know?
Yeah.
Again, which is fun. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed playing them. But when you get to the bottom of the bag, you start to run into some gapping issues.
Sure.
My
son is actually playing those right now. And just last week he said, I kind of have a problem, Dad. I'm hitting my 8-iron like 185 yards. And that's just like like cruise control for me. And I said, yeah, that is kind of a problem. Yeah. I could see that. But, you know, at the same time, though, and this kind of brings in the next part of the question, you know, this discussion is distance irons are almost intrinsically tied with forgiveness, right? Mm. So almost always you see your longest irons are usually among your most forgiving irons, right? Because they have the, you know, they're really forgiving, fast face. They've got a lot of mass down low, which, you know, can really drive back the MOI, keep the face from twisting when you miss off center. So there's a lot of players who need that forgiveness that maybe don't need to launch a 7-iron 14 degrees, right?
Right.
So is that the reason that you tried the X's at first? Is that you thought you wanted the forgiveness? Or
yeah, I want to try them. I want to see what it was like. I grew up playing muscle back or cavity back irons, and that's what I knew. And I wanted to see what it would be like to have some new technology in the bag and see what it can do. And like I said, I hit the ball farther. I didn't really have any issues with anything. I did, as you mentioned earlier, have to have my lofts weakened so that I could get a little bit more launch and a little bit more spin. I'm a pretty low spin guy by nature of my swing. Mm-hmm. But I had fun with them for a year. But I just seem to play better when I have a little bit more control of my golf ball. And that usually means more of a traditional style iron that gives me more spin. And interestingly enough, I don't, because the ForgeTech X like type iron, the hollow body forgiving iron, because I don't spin it as much as I would with the other one, I often found that I hit them the same distance.
Interesting.
In the shorter clubs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you've really had a lot of like set gap wedges that you've disliked, right?
Yes, very much so.
And I have some theories on that. I think that, as you know, if you see like the way game improvement irons are built, especially as you get into the wedges, the soles get pretty big into the wedges, right? Yep. And there's just so much weight down low that those clubs just float the ball right up the face.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, it just encourages the ball to sit up there and just lazy float to nowhere. it's a problem that I struggle with right now. That's probably the worst thing that I have going on with my iron set right now, is just that I can hit like my 6 and 7 iron, you know, fast and pretty far for me, but I get down into the scoring, you know, like that pitching wedge and that gap wedge, and it's tough to keep those gaps. Sure. I'm actually thinking about bending my pitching wedge to like 41 degrees.
Okay.
But I think it might help. I mean, in the end, I'm just trying to fill gaps, right?
That's it. That's what, you know, it shouldn't be the loft number on the club.
Right.
It should be what your gapping is. That's the biggest thing. No matter what that number is, as long as your clubs gap properly, you're good.
Yeah, for sure. And as long as, you know, you can expect an iron to do the same thing most of the time, I think that's good too. So have you noticed a shift in the industry in the last few years in this regard at all?
Oh, sure. Technology is always going to be a thing. They're innovating. They're trying to make the game better for everybody. But the loft jacking still exists. I feel like it's not as big of a story as it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, Titleist, I don't think they said anything about distance, for example, with 350s or with T-Series. I mean, maybe a little bit, right?
Yeah,
but it certainly wasn't the story, which for so long that was it. I mean, can think like Callaway. Like, I don't think their iron story has really been distance.
I think it's more been forgiveness.
And spin consistency.
The lofts are still still what they are, but it's not the story anymore. Yeah. Even though people on the THP forums or any forums will still point it out.
I think that, so, you know, like how I admitted to being a little bit bummed out or ashamed of not hitting, you know, or hitting a 7-iron when somebody else was hitting a 9-iron. I do think, though, that some guys that just, they get mad at loft jacking because they don't like the fact that they see somebody else using less club. That's like, you know, they think is like cheating, right? And it hurts their ego. They're like, I earned that.
I want to hit an 8-iron that far too.
Exactly. You know? Or if I can't hit an 8-iron that far, nobody should be able to hit an 8-iron. Right?
All right, Hawk, we're going to do the lightning round that we enjoy doing every week.
Sure.
And the first one I got for you is, would you rather hit a 7-iron 175 with perfect stopping power or 185 with marginal stopping power?
Actually, I would take the 175. Give me 175. I would be thrilled with that. Okay. Yes, 175 all day. Go ahead.
You're saying better stopping power, right? Kind of what I said earlier versus yours that went out like 15 feet.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd said 155 with perfect stopping power or 175 with marginal, I would have said the 175 with marginal, just so we're clear.
Okay.
175 is a great number. I'd kill for that. What matters most to you, spin or just the descent angle into the green?
I think it's spin. Yeah, I'm not a high ball hitter. So my descent angle isn't as steep as plenty of others that can stop the ball without the spin. So for me, I need spin.
Okay.
Are 5 wedges too many?
God, I hope not. I hope not. I've carried 4 aftermarket wedges before and a pitching wedge. Now I'm carrying a gap and 2. It's a lot. There's no doubt that it's a lot. Yes, it's too many.
Okay. Do you count? This is a weird question, and I'm improvising on this one. I'm throwing it in here.
Yeah.
Do you count your pitching wedge as a wedge?
No.
When you say, or is it part of the set?
Yeah, I don't, and I really don't even count the set gap wedge as a wedge either.
Okay.
Even though
it has the name wedge.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue, like, if we were going to be black and white about it, yeah, I'd argue, yeah, it's a wedge. It says wedge on it. It has to be a wedge, but I don't use it like I use a dabber wedge. So for you, has the longest 7-iron race gone too far?
Did it go too far? No, I think it got to where it needed to be. And I think, like we said, I think maybe it's coming back a little bit. To me, a 7-iron is kind of where you start entering the scoring club territory a little bit. It could be 7, it could be 8, it just depends. But
yeah. Okay.
All right. Hollow body or traditional cavity back?
Man, there was a time where I loved to play just a old cavity back, which, by the way, I did bend stronger just so I could hit them a little farther. I love hollow bodies, man. I like that crack they give. I like everything about hollow bodies.
Hollow bodies can be fun.
Yeah, you know, here's why I like hollow bodies, because they look cool. Like, they look really nice, but they're like a game improvement cavity back iron. You know what I mean?
For
like,
sure. Yep.
The T-Series. Look at those irons. They're perfect. Like the T350s, beautiful. And they're so forgiving. Should iron loft, this is such an old man question. Should iron lofts be printed on the sole instead of club numbers?
No, I don't care what the loft of the club is. I want to pull a 7-iron. Here's a true story. The Ben Hogan irons. God, I can't remember the model that I had, but they did not have 7, 8, 9 iron on them. They had the lofts. Yeah. And it was the most confusing thing ever for like the first 6 rounds, because I couldn't figure out which club I needed to pull without having a chart to refer to. So give me the numbers all the time. I don't care what the loft is. Except on my wedges.
Yeah. Weird, huh? I think anybody except for like a really insecure old man would totally agree with you on that. I agree with you. Okay, myth or truth here. Strong lofts are the only reason irons are going farther these days.
Loft is a big reason why clubs go as far as they do, but I really think the tech built into them plays quite a big role there as well.
I mean, I think if you talk to, I mean, I've talked to people in club design and they'll say loft is king, right? Loft does make a major difference in, you know, your ball speed and your launch angle and all that. But sure. At the same time, you know, CG placement and just face construction really does make a difference. You could take a 7-iron or you could take a 29 degree club from 40 years ago and hit it right next to a 29 degree club from today, and they would not be the same by any means.
Absolutely not.
No, there's no doubt. Myth or truth for you, more iron distance is always better. I think I already know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's a myth for me. Yeah.
Okay. It's the truth for me. I would take all the distance. Okay. Good question here. This is real.
Okay.
Distance irons are only about ego.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, yes, guys want to hit it farther.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily who they're made for, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It, you know, it's not that I like.
It's not for the guy that has speed and wants to hit it farther than everybody else. It's for the guy that doesn't have speed and wants to keep up with his buddies.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is a little bit about ego, but it's not bravado. It's just, you know,
right.
you want to hang, whatever, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, so I don't think that we definitively decided anything on loft jacking today. Did we?
No, we did not.
But it's good, right?
It's a never-ending discussion. It really is.
Is it bad? I think it's good.
It's good. Yeah.
It has its place. Right?
It absolutely has its place in today's golf, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan, and you're not, and that's perfectly okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Shout out real quick to this awesome hat from Vortex Golf, by the way. What do you think of this?
It's pretty sweet.
Nice color, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Took me a minute to find something to match it, but yeah.
I think black probably goes with anything that color, right?
Yeah, I actually found a
Are you talking about a golf shirt?
Yeah, golf shirt. Like it was, it's like kind of like a navy. It's got a little bit of this gold in it and navy kind of checker pattern. It's hard to explain. It's going to be in a review here pretty soon. It's good. But, okay. Well, let's just call it a day then. Loft jacking's great. If you disagree, you're old and grumpy. The end. This has been Splitting Fairways.
Real golfers, real opinions. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Hawk. Thanks for listening.